right, you can get your Bibles out tonight.
Open up to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32. I have a little background to give you towards this. So before, it's going to be a little bit before we actually look at the verse, but I want you to understand where Jeremiah the prophet is coming from. You know, in our own life, there are a lot of different kinds of prayers that we offer to the Lord. Sometimes a prayer of thankfulness and gratitude. Those are had during times of blessing, times of difficulty, but we'll look at it later, but to be thankful in all things, right? And sometimes that's, most times that's difficult. And it's tough to be in a difficult situation and be thankful. This isn't that message. I could really develop that thought, and I could show you some things in the scriptures maybe in a few weeks or so. But those are prayers, right? And maybe tonight you just thank God for something. God, thank you for my salvation. Thank you for family. Thank you for health. Thank you for this church. Thank you for friends. Thank you for your word. And you're just appreciative, and I think that's a good point of prayer. If your prayer time is always just asking God for things, you're missing out on part of the conversation, right? I mean, that's not how it should be. Maybe a prayer of yours is praying for wisdom and guidance. I find myself asking God that frequently. Say, oh, you're so biblical. James 1 says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And I find myself in that situation regularly. Lord leads us into positions and things that we've not been to before. And Lord, I just want to do things your way, your approach to it. And God, I need your help. And Lord, I have kids. Lord, I need to know what to do with this situation. As they're sitting in their room, I'm praying for wisdom. Those are prayers that we offer. God, I need guidance for my own life. I kind of come to this spot, and I'm not quite sure which way you'd want me to go. My end goal is to honor and glorify you. Which way do you see? And God's wisdom is far better than our wisdom. And those are prayers that we offer to the Lord. How about prayers of desperation? Not the prayer of thankfulness, not the prayer of wisdom, but the prayer of, God, I'm overwhelmed. I'm in way too deep. I'm in despair. I'm about to break. I need help. I remember years ago talking with she shared this testimony here, Kelly Knobb, and she prayed just for the strength to breathe. She was going through such a difficult time. Maybe you've been there. The book of Jeremiah is the prophet Jeremiah. The book is broken down in a series of later on in the book, it gets to more of a narrative telling a story of what's going on and what's happening with things. But mainly, the book of Jeremiah is simply a series of messages by the prophet. And he says, thus saith the Lord. And he goes, say, what kind of messages is he preaching? Israel, Judah, you're backslidden. You've broken God's commandment. That's the nature by which Jeremiah is preaching over and over and over again. If you've ever read the book of Jeremiah, you don't get the, I'm going to go take on the my difficulty headstrong. It's, whoa, I want to be careful. The messages include Israel, the judgment and the consequences that you are experiencing are your own fault because you neglected what God told you to do. You don't see, come, let us reason together. You don't see that. You don't see, rejoice in the Lord always. You're not getting that out of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah's been given the task of preaching the judgment, almost, if we can say, it's God saying, I've told you so. Not just one time, but time and time and time again. He's been so merciful. He's been so gracious, he's been so long-suffering, that finally judgment has fallen. This is about, the book of Jeremiah takes place around 600 years before the birth of Christ. They're in captivity. They're in the process of going into captivity. Judgment has come. Jeremiah uses in his preaching, God sends him different places. Hey, go down to the potter's house. Pick up this two baskets of figs. Use the linen girdle. Take this yoke. Go stand by the temple gate. He uses physical illustrations to demonstrate this, pretty much those thoughts over and over and over again. The nature of his messages are more of the proof of their disobedience to the Lord and the current consequences that they are living, the pestilence, the just wasteland in which they're living. Their family has been taken captive. The temple is destroyed. Just bad things have happened. And no one's sitting there going, well, I wonder why this happened. Yet Jeremiah would still preach this and say, if you would just turn and repent and look back towards God. He had a face-to-face conversation with a king saying that. He says, the problems you're having is because you've denied the Lord, but if you simply just turn, say, how did the king take that? He locked him up. See, where Isaiah, when we read Isaiah, the prophecies of Isaiah are things to come. It is the future kingdom. So much of the book of Isaiah, as you read Isaiah, so ever read Isaiah and go, I don't know what I'm reading. Anybody like that? Okay, good. All right. Ever read Jeremiah and say, I have no idea what I've just read. I just read two pages. I've sorted out my grocery list in my head, but I really don't know what I'm reading. That's what you're reading. And a lot of times in the book of Isaiah, he's talking about things to come. And I bet the nation of Israel would read the book of Isaiah excited. Why? Because it's talking about redemption. It's talking about establishing a kingdom where God rules again and that the curse has been withdrawn and all of these things. Some at the moment, but so much of the book of Isaiah are things to come. A book of encouragement. I got something to look forward to. Jeremiah is not that. Jeremiah is, hey, right here, right now, look around you. That's because you've denied God. That's because you've broken his commandments. That's because you broke his covenant. He has allowed your enemies to defeat you. It doesn't have to be this way. Turn to me. And time again, they would not. Very little future things talking in the book of Jeremiah. It was right there, right then. That is why he is nicknamed the what? What kind of prophet? The weeping prophet. The book of Lamentations is simply his heartfelt response to what he is seeing, and it is his heart broken over his own country. It would be like you and I living in the United States of America, decimated by the judgment of God. We are not there. And I'm praying that God get a hold of, that's a different message. But if they simply would have repented and turned towards God, he would deliver them. And Jeremiah, say, how was Jeremiah received? He was imprisoned. He was forbidden to marry. He was threatened with death multiple times. And that's where we pick up in chapter 32. Hey, you thought you were having a bad day. This is where he lives. In chapter 32, that is what his whole ministry has been. Hey, take this girdle, bind it about yourself. That is, and this is the illustration. Take those figs, go down to the potter's house, learn this thing, learn that thing. And all the messages are, you're backslidden, you're out of God's will, you're broken, you have been judged by God. I don't know about you, but I would be... I'd be tired. As a preacher, man, you don't want to have to preach that all the time. I'd be discouraged. Jeremiah 32 and verse 16 Jeremiah is not preaching now, he's praying. The Bible says, now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. I read that and I go, man, this guy's special. To have all of that going on in his ministry and his circumstance and his life and his messages and his imprisonment and his torture and his difficulty and his neglect and his hurt, he still looks towards heaven and says, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. You know what's amazing to me about that prayer? You know, you would think as Jeremiah, the preacher, the prophet, the man of God at this point, again, seeing the judgment of God and all the difficulty and the heartache, again, being nicknamed the weeping prophet, nothing but sorrow, because the people are not turning back towards the Lord. And he still acknowledged God for who he was, how powerful, how wonderful, telling him, God, there's nothing too hard for thee. But I wonder, as a man, just the humanity side, I wonder if he even thinks, God, are you even hearing my prayers? I mean, he's saying the right things. Ever get to the point where you're praying? Ever been at the point when you're praying, talking to the God of heaven and wondering, I wonder if he even hears me? I just think that that's where this man is. They're not listening. It's getting, as I stand before the king and I tell him what you told me to say, he imprisons me, tortures me, he's killing people around me. And then he says, is there anything too hard for thee? Saying the right things, but I wonder if in his own heart he wonders, God, can you even hear these prayers? A remarkable thing. If you just, I don't know, on my page, you turn one page over. In verse 26, 10 verses later. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, now pay attention to this. This is God answering Jeremiah. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah. Remember, Jeremiah is praying to God. And God says, I'll respond. And he says these words, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. And look at the question he asks. Is there anything too hard for me? Why would he say that to Jeremiah? Just to let Jeremiah know, I heard you. Even in the midst of what looks like I'm all alone, nobody's paying attention, God, are you even out there asking that question? God just says, I heard you, Jeremiah. Isn't it a blessing to know that God answers our prayers and hears our prayers? Answered prayers. Heard prayers. Now, I dare say, we are not in the position of Jeremiah. But some days we feel like it, isn't it? I'm talking to God and I'm even wondering, God, can you hear me? And then he comes out and does something just so godlike. And just lets us know, I'm aware of where you're at, and I hear you. The first response that God gave to Jeremiah was exactly the question that Jeremiah asked God. Do you understand that he hears you? You may feel overwhelmed with life and there is no hope and no one's listening and no one wants to do right and we're going to be living in the judgment of God. But please remember, God still hears you. See, our prayers are based on God. Look at Psalm 69. Psalm 69. Psalm 69 and verse 13. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, and in an acceptable time, O God. In the multitude of thy mercy, hear me, in the truth of thy salvation. Prayer is based on who God is, not who I am. He says, as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord. And isn't this a good prayer? God, however you want to work it out with time, because you know better. And you're merciful just to even hear me and the truth of thy salvation. Hey, prayer's based on who God is, not who I am. Let's not forget that. And God, you know what God likes? God likes specific prayers. Because then he gets to be specific with his answers. I wonder if we miss out on things praying too vague. God, I pray that good things happen. How about you be more specific? How about you pray specifically for your children? How about you pray specifically for your church family? Even for yourself. Lord, help me to see you in this way. Help me to see you for who you are. Do you pray specifically? My mom taught me that. She'd pray for, I'm telling you, things as not as silly, but as real as the color of a certain dress to be available. And God would hear those prayers. I wonder if we shortchange the Lord by not praying specific. That's a thought tonight. Praying specific. If you've not prayed like that, I encourage you to. Because it just means even more when he answers just like that. God, is anything too hard for thee? Jeremiah, is anything too hard for me? You heard that? Yeah, I was listening. I wonder what God could answer in your life. Number one, prayer is based on God. Number two, pray specifically. Number three, pray right where you're at. See, what does that mean? Jeremiah didn't have to try and clean anything up or had to try and, hey, let me get myself together. I'm talking to the Lord. Hey, I think we ought to have a pure heart. But just, hey, God, this is what I see around me. This is what's going on around me. I need help right now, right here. Well, I'll pray when I get to church on Wednesday night. No, you pray right where you're at. Matthew chapter number 6. Look there. I just want to encourage you tonight. You may feel overwhelmed, in despair. Maybe your prayers are out of desperation. Even beginning to question in your heart and in your mind, God, do you even hear me? I want to encourage you. God hears you. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Hey, I gotta make this prayer look real pretty and all organized and say the exact same words and the right words and I don't want to mess anything up and my prayer's got to be perfect. And No. Hey, how about when you're talking to God, you just throw that script out and you just pray right where you're at. God, this is what's going on inside my heart. I'm having a hard time. God, I just want to thank you. I had an extra nugget in my little package there, that little chicken nugget. I think that was from you. If Feel bad for the next guy who gets one less, but I'm thankful I got one. Thankful, Lord, that that guy that just blew that stop sign missed me. When he answers prayers, we ought to pray right where we're at. When things come up, we ought to pray. Nehemiah taught me that. Hey, when you're in distress, just take a minute. God, I'm going to need your help right now. I've been in meetings where I thought it was going to go one way and it went another way. And I just, right in the middle of that thing, as they're talking, I'm talking to God. I wasn't like, hey, hold on a minute. I need to get to the altar or I need a few minutes. It's just, I'm talking to the Lord. It wasn't polished. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't. Ever have not pretty prayers? Say, what does that mean? Just a mess. You go for minutes not even knowing what to say. I think he's more pleased with a heart that is real with him and honest with him than a vain, repetitious, perfect prayer. I don't think that's even talking to the Lord. Just pray where you're at. And lastly, don't stop. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Jeremiah would have been a good candidate if I never saw in the book of Jeremiah from that point forward, and Jeremiah said to the Lord, I would get it. Because every message he got from God was not an encouraging one. But you know what Jeremiah didn't stop doing? Stop praying. Yeah, but my life, it's not what I understand that, but don't stop praying. Luke 18, look at Luke 18. We're almost done. Luke 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know what that tells me? Don't stop praying. Don't give up on prayer. Don't give up on talking with the Lord. Don't give up. Pray without ceasing. Don't faint. Acts chapter number 12. Peter's in prison. He's been arrested. Things are not looking good. What can the church do? In verse 4, I guess we can start in verse 1. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. You know, Peter knew him directly. It was his friend. For a stand for Christ, and Herod was looking to cause trouble in the church, he takes James and he kills him. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. What do you think Peter's thinking? In the morning, I'm next. That was the plan. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Even when things look bleak, even when things look like there's no win. Peter, James has just been killed, John's brother. You've been arrested because of a feast. They're going to kill you not right now, but tomorrow. What can we do? Verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in the prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Don't stop. Peter would be let out. He'd knock at the door of the disciples, and they couldn't even believe it. They're like, girl goes down, she answers the door. They're like, Peter's here. They're like, no way. Ever pray, God answers the prayer, and you don't even believe it? When I was reading that about Jeremiah, hey, life can get overwhelming. I'm glad Jeremiah didn't stop praying. I'm glad he prayed specifically, because God got the answer specifically. Jeremiah would find himself in prison after that again for the message that God told him to preach. But he wasn't going back on it. If God said it, he said it and encouraged his faith. Hey, you may feel overwhelmed by things and feel like there's no hope. Don't stop praying. God hears you. So stand tonight. You're probably going to alarm the people when you walk out. It's just after 8. So if they have some King's Club stuff, it's the first night. It's probably going to go a little bit longer. So just be patient while they finish up down there. Thankful for our workers and teachers and all of them. And thankful for each and every one that serves the Lord here. And I'm glad you're here. I pray that my desire tonight was that this message would be encouragement to you to not stop praying, even in the midst of despair. Pray specifically. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how you encourage us just by just 10 verses separated what Jeremiah said and how you responded. But Lord, so much to be said about that. Lord, I pray that we would be strengthened in our faith as we talk with you, knowing that you do hear. We thank you for that. Thank you for our King's Club. Thank you for our teenagers. Lord, I pray that you continue to bless those classes and our church here, Lord. And Lord, there's many a needs on that list tonight that, Lord, we can't do anything about. But God, we know that you can. God, we bring them before you. Lord, work a miracle, please. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.